You're listening to Raphael Epstein.
A great time to talk about two films. Well, I tell you, I've seen the first one, loved it, and the next one, the Pixar one, is supposed to be good as well. Josh Nelson joins me. Filmology.com is the website. Filmology as well on Twitter. Josh, welcome.
Good afternoon.
Now, I should clarify, a few people asking if the next season of True Detective is any good. We're not talking about the new season of True Detective. We are talking about, first of all, Marshland. It's a Spanish film, and it looks and feels intensely like True Detective, the TV show that starred Matthew McConaughey and Woody Harrelson. Again, with foreign language films, not too much we can do to play you a clip to give you an idea of the feel. But Josh, before I get into people's favourite cop duos, and I'm sure you have one.
I do.
How do you describe it? Other than, can you describe it without referencing True Detective? That'd be quite hard.
It would be, and yeah. I'd have to throw away my notes if I did.
Right, that's okay.
Look, you could describe it in broad genre terms. It's a police thriller. We have two detectives, and in the very much the buddy cop mold, they're diametrically opposed in terms of their personality, their politics, their value systems.
And it's Spain in the 80s, so Franco, all
so,
of that.
So it's 1980.
Relevant.
It's a really crucial time in Spanish politics. So Franco has died in 75, but this is in that really murky middle period before the 82 election. So it's one of these great films, almost in a similar way to that film we discussed earlier this year called 71, that film that was set in Belfast, which was an action thriller, but in the political backdrop of the Troubles. This does something very similar. It weds a genre thriller, in this case a cop thriller, to a political backdrop in a way where the genre and the politics inform each other in really fascinating ways. I think this is a really complex film, but so it focuses on these two cops. They're from Madrid. They're sent down to the south, a bit like True Detective, to investigate the disappearance of two young women.
Even the people, this sort of the weird mystic people who deal with seafood. I mean, it's
It's a marshland.
That's
right. It's
the
Guadalquivir marshland area. So it's hard to conceive that these productions, True Detective and Marshland, were conceived separately, that they weren't inspired by each other in some way, and that they were produced on different continents at the same time. I think that's what you mentioned before, the zeitgeist. It is a remarkable coincidence.
Because there are endless references. I don't want to get too deep into it, because I know many people may not have watched True Detective, and also, if you're going to go and see Marshland, which I really recommend you do, I don't want to plot spoil, but the weirdness, the odd clues, the strange cops out of town with their own set tensions, the feel, even the title sequence at the beginning, it all feels and looks almost as though they've gone, right, let's make a Spanish version of True Detective. But as you say, they're made at the same time. So there's something going on in that industry that's just filtering down and influencing both makers in the same way.
Yeah, well, I mean, we could refer to True Detective as the American Marshland.
Absolutely,
In some ways. But yeah, you're right. Even the colour stock. Yeah, and the grain, the colour palette. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so fascinating, this film, just getting back to that issue of how this fairly familiar type genre is, or the politics are crucial to the way in which they explore this genre, particularly the culture of silence and shame. I mean, this small town setting, which is so bizarre, it almost reminds me at moments of Twin Peaks. You know, there's that scene where one of the cops who's an alcoholic and he's going through a pretty rough patch, he enters his hotel room and he has this moment with a bird, and it's so stark and it's so Lynchian, and
you can't work out if it's a hallucination or not.
Exactly. And there's the moments that writer-director Alberto Rodriguez brings to this film are so unique in many ways, and it's a film that I couldn't tell where it was going, and that was a joy. It wasn't like a sense of this is a filmmaker who doesn't understand. I felt very comfortable in the director's hands.
It's a complete surprise. Every turn is, you're doing that now. So it's a sort of delicious surprise.
And it continually ups the ante in ways that are pleasurable and don't feel like a cheat to the tone and the mood of the film that is established, and don't pay lip service to the politics. I mean, the politics is always in the background. It's always there in the sense of silence, the physical torture and what's perhaps happened to these women and these series of women in the past that no one wants to talk about. I think this is a wonderful, wonderful film.
Now, tell me, I do want to know people's favourite. Someone texting, if it's all been done before, why would I watch it? It's different. Understand what we're saying. It's a very different piece of filmmaking to True Detective. However, there's a lot of similarities there. And as good as True Detective, Greg is asking from Ballarat, absolutely. Yes, it is definitely as good. Even, I might even say better in some ways. But look, before I get on to favourite cop duos, and I'd love to hear from you, 1300 222 774. I don't expect to know anything about Spanish filmmakers or Spanish actors, but I assume this has been a big film in Spain. Are these a sort of, you know, the peak of the industry, or do we know much about them?
Yeah, so this film, so this, I guess the Spanish equivalent of the Academy Awards, if the Academy is the American kind of Western sort of side of things, they have the Goya Awards, and this film swept last year. It won best film, best actor for the older of the two, two cops, best cinematography, editing, the whole kit and caboodle. And, you know, it's been doing gangbusters at festival circuits, and I think it did it premiered in Melbourne at the Spanish Film Festival last year, and now it's on limited theatrical release here in Melbourne. And look, it is. It's really, really worthwhile, I think. So. I think, you know, and in ways that are different to True Detective as well. I don't want to just sort of sell it on that point alone. No. There are moments in this film that even remind me more of a film like Chinatown, the Polanski film.
Yeah, indeed.
That sort of film noirish sensibility, because it's not just a detective film.
But it's actually interesting how, I mean, it's a little bit, we now accept, I think, that there are so many crime procedural novels out there, and they are really, they're a vehicle for a whole lot of different people to explore a whole lot of different things. If you just want plot, sure, but also there are so many crime procedurals from so many different parts of the world, and they're a different way of examining a whole lot of very human things, very social things, very political. And it's interesting to see that at the same time True Detective is being made, someone's using very similar visual tropes, the missing women, the cop to male buddy relationship, actually exploring very localized, very Spanish things that also feel quite universal.
Yeah, I don't think you could generalize the South of America to the South here. I mean, this is making some very specific comments about Spain in the same way that the tropes and the style of True Detective is very much rooted in that sort of southern swampland type of... And you could say the same thing for film for TV shows like The Bridge, the Danish-Swedish co-production, which, again, is very much specific to that area. And then when you take it out of that to the UK setting and the American one, those elements change.
Yeah. Now, where's it on?
It's on at Cinema Nova in Carlton, and also, I think, limited screenings at... Palace Kino and the Como, I think.
Ah, okay. Look, 1300-222-774 is the phone number. Marshland is the name of the film that we've dubbed the Spanish True Detective. It is both similar stylistically and also fantastic and quite different as well. So your favourite cop duos. Look, a few nominations on the text. I tell you what, you get the ham today, this dear texter. William Shatner and Heather Locklear in T.J. Hooker. Oh, the boom. Yeah, that's just the ultimate. I haven't thought of that in years, and now I'll never be able to erase that thought from my memory banks for at least 4 months. We're asked after your favourite cop duos. White Chicks is Alistair's nomination in Geelong. 1300-222-774. Favourite cop duos. John has called from Rye. John, what's yours?
G'day, Raph. Love your show.
Thank you.
Training Day, Ethan Hawke and Denzel Washington.
So you like that film, John?
Oh, great. Absolutely. Really good.
Who got the Oscar, Denzel or Ethan Hawke?
Neither.
No, no. Didn't Denzel get an Oscar?
No, it was another movie at the time that got it.
Best Actor Oscar. I think it was Denzel. So why that film, John?
Oh, it's just, they're just so opposite and so different that they sort of combined. But I was born in Madrid, so looking forward to Marshland.
So you were born in Madrid?
Yeah.
Ah, okay. You'll love Marshland. It's a great film. Look, thank you, John. I was also going to mention off the back of that, Josh, Inside Man. I think you say Iwatel Ejiofor and Denzel Washington. That's actually, they're a really nice pairing.
I've forgotten he was in
Inside
that.
Man. Yeah. Good film. Watched that the other day. Your favourite before we get on to Inside Out?
Look, I'm going to give a shout out to The Guard. It's one of the less known. This is an Irish buddy cop film with Brendan Gleeson, who's one of the Irish Guard. I think it's set in Galway or near Galway. And Don Cheadle is the FBI guy who comes across to bust a drug ring. And it's a very funny black comedy.
Okay. Look, a few of you mentioning Sipowicz and his various partners, Tango and Cash. Arnold Schwarzenegger and James Belushi in a film that Josh informs me is called Red Heat, which I also tried to eradicate from my memory banks. Let's talk about Inside Out. It's the new Pixar film. It's getting rave reviews. It's essentially the various emotions inside a young girl's head labelled and given sort of characters. Joy is played by Amy Poehler, and this is her introducing Riley, the young girl, her main emotions inside of the girl's body.
I'm joy. This is sadness. That's anger.
What?
This is disgust. And that's fear. We're Riley's emotions. These are Riley's memories. They're mostly happy, you'll notice, not to brag.
I wanted to maybe hold one.
What happened? Sadness?
She did something to the memory.
Is everything okay?
I don't know.
Take it back, Joy.
I'm trying. Joy, no.
Let's
wait.
Go.
The core memories.
No.
Okay, so the usual bit of Pixar chaos. Is this any good, Josh?
Yeah, this is really great. Do you remember the TV show that played, I think, 3 seasons during the 90s, Herman's Head?
Oh, yeah, vaguely.
Which was, a guy kind of 30-something, and
and
was
the characters in his head,
inside
yes.
his head. This is like a childhood version of this. So this is from Pixar. I think this is hands down the best film Pixar's done since Toy Story 3.
All
that
right.
taps into a very similar sort of thematic territory.
It's a very big
territory.
Call. We all have high expectations of Pixar when they're good.
Well, the last few I thought have been pretty middling, and they have been Cars 2, Brave, Monsters Uni. Yeah. All of those I thought were pretty middling animation. And, I mean, it's fair to say that Toy Story 3 set the bar pretty high, and it tapped into a childhood joy, but also the adult joy. You know, all the articles at the time about men crying because it was all about letting go of the toys. This film does something quite similar in terms, even though it's got a female protagonist, which I think is interesting, in terms of that awkward moment in childhood. Like, this is 11-year-old Riley. She's just been moved from Minnesota with her folks to San Francisco, and she's struggling with all these issues, and it's played out through the kind of the behind the scenes element of these emotions, particularly joy, who we heard voiced by Amy Poehler, and sadness, voiced by Phyllis Smith, who get lost in the kind of this strange underworld of almost like an amusement park scenario in her conscious and then into the subconscious area.
Oh, okay.
And they have to fight to get back to the surface to restore the balance in headquarters.
Right. Sounding very Freudian. It's very psychoanalytical.
And this is where I think this film will be really successful, and it's already been critically successful, because the script is incredibly witty. It plays to adult humor. There's a number of jokes that deal with Freud. There's some jokes that are quite political. There's one moment, and I'm not going to go through all the jokes, but there's a gag where we have her opinions and facts that are stored in two different boxes,
right.
and they get knocked over and spilled together. And someone says, oh no, the opinions and facts have mixed together, and says, that seems to be happening quite a lot these days.
Yeah, nice.
You know,
nice.
Budumch.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's an incredibly colorful film as well, so it definitely appeals to younger children. And it has this really strong poignancy I think that's the strength of Pixar when they're on song, is they nail that connection with dealing with an adult audience who are taking their kids or going in and seeing this in an audience with children and tapping into what it felt like as a child.
So when you say poignant, what you really mean, and I think this is when Pixar works really well, it's when adults feel good about feeling like a child and the children feel good about feeling like an adult. And when you're doing that both at the same time, there's in front of or inspiring animation, it's a winning formula.
And it doesn't feel like cheap saccharine
yes.
appeal.
Yes.
I mean, because there are moments of sadness. And I mean, the fact that the character of sadness is so well written and has such a strong role in this, I think is really important. So you don't feel cheated. It doesn't talk down to its audience. And I think that's one of the issues that a lot of kids' films do nowadays, and why they don't quite work, because they're not written for adults and they talk down to children. And children smell BS, I think. You know, I think it's fair to say. And this film doesn't have that. The director, the writer-director, Pete Docter, previously worked on Up. He was the director of Up. And also the
Up's
original Monsters, Inc. And they're both really strong. And he's also writing Toy Story 4. So it's in really safe hands. And the voice cast is cut across predominantly from SNL. We've got Amy Poehler and also Bill Hader. And the cast of the US version of The Office. Phyllis Smith is from that, Mindy Kaling, Rashida Jones. So it's a really strong cast as well. And it's hard to find fault with this film. I thought it was wonderful.
Okay. And teenagers, yes or no?
Oh, I think so.
Look, right. Broad audience.
Yeah, I can't imagine there's an audience that wouldn't find something to connect to in this film.
Okay. That is Inside Out. So that sounds good. Someone pointing out on the text that Big Hero 6 was also pretty good, so Pixar back in form. Was that Pixar or
no,
Disney?
I don't think. I think that was the Disney side. I think Pixar Animation Studio was
bought by Disney.
Well, they were part of it. It was like a co-production.
Yep.
But the films I mentioned before were those
sure.
Pixar releases.
Pixar, yeah. Okay. And look, quite a few. I just want to get to more of your cop double mentions. A few of you mentioning Cagney and Lacey as a young girl in the 80s. Great to see female leads. There aren't. I think that is the only female mention here. Mulder, as in all female double. Mulder and Scully in The X-Files. And, of course, how could we forget? A few of you texted in those guys in The Wire, and I didn't want to read it out, but I did want to read out McNulty and Bunk from The Wire, who'd probably be my favourite on-screen cop double. That's from Tris in Yarraville. Josh, let me ask you this, though. The Pixar film, one thing I didn't get from you, the animation. I mentioned Big Hero 6. That was actually quite stunning in that I actually feel like I needed to see that one again. There was these amazing detailed tableaus that sort of whiz by in an instant, sort of crammed with, you know, complex design. Is it that sort of animation or?
This feels more in the mold from a design perspective of the earlier Toy Story films,
yeah, okay.
The playful amusement park type scenarios, the simplicity, the recognizable toys,
yep.
childhood imagination. You're right, there was moments in Big Hero 6, particularly in the end when he crosses through that dimensional porthole, which I thought was some of the most incredible animation I'd ever seen. I mean, we almost forget to talk about the quality of animation now, because I think the bar has been set so high that we just assume it's going to be of a certain standard, particularly with a studio like Pixar. So yeah, there's certainly nothing in this that stands out as below that standard.
Sure. But go and see Marshland. It's a great film on at some of the best independent cinemas in Melbourne. Inside Out was the other film we mentioned by Pixar. Filmology.com is Josh Nelson's website. Thanks a lot, Josh.
Pleasure.